Okay, so I'm going to focus on measurement challenges that we're having in this project. We're working on triangulating measurements to test, to capture our outcomes. This work is supported by the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute, and we don't have any relationships to disclose. So we're in the midst of a randomized controlled trial that we call Padres Efectivos, loosely translated as parent activation. And we're focusing on teaching skills that Latina moms can use to get health care for their children. This is a randomized controlled trial to test the comparative effectiveness of this activation intervention for moms who bring kids for mental health services compared to a parent support group. And as I said, today I'm going to focus on our outcome measurement. Activation is a funny word, but a promising strategy to reduce disparities. The concept of activation was formulated around ideas of health locus of control, self-efficacy in managing behaviors, and readiness to change. Activation has been associated with better quality health care, better health outcomes, particularly for Latino adults, also for African American parents, bringing kids for mental health services, as well as other adults with other kinds of chronic diseases. Activation, I think, is particularly promising in our population because there's evidence that it can compensate for low levels of literacy and numeracy in understanding health information. So the studies show that when people can increase their activation, that they actually use services more, stay in services longer, and can have some better health outcomes regardless of literacy, numeracy, and income. So our trial is being hosted by a Latino-focused mental health clinic in Durham, North Carolina. Participants are randomized into this psychoeducational intervention compared to a support group control. Moms are surveyed in person at baseline 1 and 3 months. We have 134 people enrolled to date, so we're about halfway through our recruitment for our trial. And we're triangulating this self-report survey data with two other measures to try and really do the best job we can at capturing what activation is for our moms. So we're also audio taping the first visit that moms have after they've finished our group interventions, the first visit they have where they're talking with their kids' provider. And we're also doing chart abstracts to look at child visit attendance. So I'm very proud of this. This is our participation, a picture of our participation to date. It's kind of a busy slide, but the bottom line is that the blue bars are what's anticipated, and the other colors are what we've actually achieved, and they're all higher. So we have some expectation of the number of kids that come into the clinic each month. We do an intake where we have a project coordinator full-time on-site at the clinic, and she's very integrated into the clinic process. The clinic has a subcontract with us and is really a partner in this effort, and she sits there and does lots of things. So she recruits people, tells them about the survey, does a consent process. Once they're consented, then she figures out what their availability is, and we have a system, an automated system where they're randomized. Then we try to be very flexible about how to get people into our group, so we know which group they're supposed to go into, and we hold them until we get enough people who can, say, do Tuesday evening, and then we open up a Tuesday evening group. So assignment into a group is really our start of the project for people. And then as soon as they get assigned to a group, we'll do the baseline interview as close to the beginning of that group as possible. And we're experiencing about 3% dropout between intake and group assignment. This is a little bit of a description of our families to date. Family income in the past month is about $1,400. That's 60% of the poverty level. That's really humbling. 30% of our moms are high school graduates, and moms measuring depression with the PHQ-8, moms have a level of depression that's somewhere right in between mild and moderate, although it's the kid coming for mental health services. Kid age is 11 on average. There's a wide spread of kid age. A little over half of the kids are male. Moms are likely to report that kids are in good physical health but in poor mental health. So our goal here is to get a predictive measure of activation. So we have this child and family characteristics. We've randomized people into an intervention or control group, and we want to measure activation. So we're measuring it with three different strategies: self-report, visit content, and child attendance. And I'm going to take these 15 minutes to sort of run through this presentation, but I would really love your reactions and feedback into how this is working and suggestions going forward. So the idea is we're hoping for better measurement through triangulation. So this is just a picture that shows we're trying to look at this from different perspectives to capture different aspects of activation. The self-report measures are really good at asking specific questions about all the different components of activation, but the downside is that they can reflect. We have a parent advisory group that we've been growing over time, and talking with them, they said, you know, we come in here and this clinic is just great, and we're really enthused. And we feel so welcomed, and everything is in Spanish, and everything is very pleasant and pretty, and it's calm, and we have we're really enthusiastic, and we think that all your parents are going to report high levels, self-report high levels of activation, because it feels so good here right from the get-go. But it may not really be tied to the kind of skills they have to manage a kid with mental health needs at home or to manage a visit with a provider. So those are the pros and cons of self-report. We are also audio taping the first visit that parents have after they finish our group. What's nice about that is that we can actually see the skills and issues and content that parents raise in those conversations. The downside is that it's a therapy visit for the kid and the parents talking with the provider, and it's very likely that it's going to reflect a small slice of that parent's skills in that kid's life, and so that's the downside there. So the third thing we're doing is looking at child attendance. One of the motivating factors for the clinic in developing this research with us is that they have a lot of dropout. Between intake of a client, there's a long waiting list when people drop out, and so kids don't come to their first visit. And then even if kids come to their first visit, they drop out afterwards. And so there, also, I think it's important to emphasize that 75% of the kids in this clinic are covered by Medicaid, and that's really their only type of billable client. So keeping kids in is really critical for the how this clinic thrives, as well as how the family and the kid thrive. We're doing chart abstraction to capture kid visits, and the good thing about that is that it really addresses the critical issue for the clinic. The bad thing is that, you know, it's just it's a distal outcome in terms of parent activation skills, right? And parents say to us, well, there are certain things that we have control over and other things we don't. So thinking about that, we have three self-report measures of activation. The first is a measure that was developed in about the past 10 years called the patient activation measure. It measures confidence in managing chronic disease at home, knowing when to go for help when you really need it and who to go to, and then a feeling of self-efficacy that you can get what you need out of that visit. Uh-oh. Okay. We also look at a parent-teacher involvement questionnaire that looks at the quality of communication with teachers, and we try to capture school activation. School measures were something that our parents suggested we add here. This just shows that indeed our self-report measures are pretty high, although the quality of the school activation is a little bit below average. And this shows that they are correlated, moderately correlated. So in terms of visit coding, so what we're going to do is note the kinds of information that we want to pull out of these audio tape visits and then record these things to try and get some notion of the depth and variety of content. And this is just some examples, like how many strategies did the parent talk about trying with their kid? What strategies did they relate? Did it work? Did the parent talk about refining the strategy? In terms of where to go to help, who did the parent talk to about going to for help? Did they go? Was it in the past? Are they planning to in the future? What was the content? Are they working something out with a kid's teacher? Are they bringing information to someone that then just drops cold? Are they getting information from someone? In terms of working with health providers, do they raise concerns? What concerns do they raise? And then in terms of clinic visits, this is baseline measures of attendance. Let's see, no, this is not baseline. This is after the 52 people so far that we've captured after they finished our group. So in our two-month window of time where we're looking, kids have about 3 visits on average. They are attending 2, and they're missing 1. That's a significant drop-off for this clinic. So to conclude here, I think these measures reflect our parent predictions that self-reports would reflect high enthusiasm. School activation appears to be an important correlate of visit activation. These recording observed activation is going to be really important for capturing kind of parents' use of these skills, and I think that showing where gaps in use of skills are, it's going to be the one way where we can see what else parents need as we refine this intervention. And child attendance shows significant room for improvement. So I think the implications of this are that our curriculum modules on parenting skills and on strategies for negotiating are particularly important issues to address increase in parent success, getting their kid to scheduled appointments. And it's going to be important to brainstorm with families and with the clinic to think about how to structure visits for these families so that families can attend and the clinic can actually afford to provide them. And some of the things that we're all thinking about right now are increased parenting groups and also child therapy groups. Thank you.
Now we have 5 minutes Q&A for Dr. Thomas.
Yes.
So I have a question about the groups. So you're saying that you assign them to an activation group and then a control group?
Yes. We felt that a support group was the most important kind of alternative hypothesis as we tested the impact of our intervention. So they are both groups, parent groups. They meet 1 hour a week for 4 weeks. Our intervention group is a curriculum that talks about child mental health, communicate parenting and communicating with your kid. We have a set of tools that try to address the activation skills called MenPrepa, where we talk about what questions you have and how to get ready for the visit, what you want, thinking about goals you want to get out of the visit. The third week, we do a lot of role playing, and so parents can practice with one another what the visit would be like. And then the fourth week, we talk about using MePRIPA in conversations with schools, because parents have told us that school success is the main motivating factor of why they're bringing kids.
And it's facilitated conversation.
Yeah.
It's a four-week curriculum.
It's being facilitated right now by graduate students in psychology who are being supervised by our co-investigator, who's a psychologist. Yeah?
We used it in a number of studies with fairly similar population around parents with activation skills that were trying to do diagnostic assessment for autism. And we found very, very little sensitivity in the measure.
Yeah. I think this is a really critical issue and the crux of what I wanted to talk about today, so thank you. From talking to our group of advisory parents, I don't think it's, they are not saying we're afraid to say we're not confident. What they're saying is, it's such a relief to be here. They've come from other mental health clinics where they don't have an interpreter and they have limited English skills, or they get an interpreter, but no one else is speaking Spanish, and that's very hard to engage in the therapeutic process. And then on top of it, our clinic really, really tries, I mean, this is so pat to say, but they really focus on being culturally sensitive. So it's, they have little clinics that are very accessible, and the rooms are really nicely designed. Everything is painted and comfortable and welcoming, and people talk about coming into the clinic and just feeling such a sense of relief and gratitude and calmness. And they talk about how in their other experiences, they go into a visit and someone's there with a clipboard writing, asking them questions and writing down answers, and they never really engage in conversation. And our clinicians have a very different approach. They sit there and say, how are you? And what's your day been like? And then parents talk about how, because it's such a normal kind of conversation for them, they can then share what's going on. And in terms of the PAM, so what I'm learning is that we envisioned that teaching activation skills to families would mean that they would identify concerns, come in with a set of questions, and manage the conversation to get those questions asked. And instead, what I find in our conversations is that families, moms tell stories. And it's as I read transcripts rather than listening, it's really challenging just in terms of conversation style, because moms don't say, my child has anger management problems, I need a strategy, can you give me a strategy to fix this? They go, he's sometimes calm, but sometimes he blows up. Do you think I could do this? They don't even ask questions, actually, as much as telling stories with tonal differences. I'm running out of my time. But does that kind of get at?
I guess I'm just interested if you think you're going to see differences in the measure because you're supporting high level.
Yeah. We see minor differences in our very preliminary low sample analyses so far. We see minor changes in the PAM score, but I think we're going to see something much more meaningful in terms of our taped visits and the kid attendance.
Thank you.